Okay. All right. So today's topic is Lo Sachmod. Obviously, this week is Aseres Adibros. It wasn't hard to find the mitzvah. But I want to deal with Lo Sachmod from two perspectives. And I really think it's hard to do them without doing both perspectives. The first is the halachic perspective, and that is simply, what's the iser of lo tachmod? How is it defined halachically? Obviously, if you have something that I want and I take it without your permission, that's an iser d'oraisa of geneva, right? That's not lo sachmod. Now, you have something that I like and I don't take it. Is that really an iser d'oraisa? I mean, that's kind of tough. Because my guess is, at least potentially, we're over that is, if I come to your house and I like your house very much, could it really be the case that I'm over the iser of lo tachmod because I like your house? Even if I think to myself, I'd love to have your house, I'm not about to kick you out. Could that be an iser d'oraisa of lo tachmod? That's the halachic part, which we have to try to figure out what exactly is prohibited. The hashkafic part is both easier and harder. We'll start this way. What in the world is lo tachmod doing in Aseres HaDibros? Aseres HaDibros are the big ones. Those are things like Shabbos and Avodah Zarah and murder and rape. Kibbutz Avaim is a big one. I mean, it's found. What's lo tachmod doing in Aseres HaDibros? And many people, Rav Hirsch amongst them, was kind of fascinated by. He thought somehow that lo sachmod, as the last, as the tenth of the dibrot, is even more problematic because somehow the tenth one should be incredibly important, and to just have the tenth one be, lo tachmod, he was bothered by that. Okay, now. Both the halachic question of what's the iser and the hashkafic question of, what's really going on with lo tachmod, what's it doing in Aseres HaDibros, both of these may come together in the fundamental chakira that's applied in the ish in the sugya of lo tachmod, and that is lo tachmod an iser in and of itself? Like, for example, the Ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha, or Lo Sisna Sachicha Bilvavecha, right? If you really want something bad to happen to your friend, you're in violation of the Issa D'Oraisa of Lo Sisna Sachicha Bilvavecha. You're in violation of the Mitzvahs Aseh of the Ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha, whether or not you do anything about it. No, but that it's a mitzvah shebelev. It's an internal thought-based mitzvah unrelated to action. So could it really be that lo tachmod falls into that category, what we'll call a belief-based, or an internal category where even if you don't do anything, it's still prohibited? Or could the iser d'oraisa of lo sachmod be an iser d'oraisa because we're afraid? What are we afraid of? If you're jealous and if you want the thing bad enough, you may come to steal it. Or you may come to force him to sell it to you, even though he doesn't want to. But in the second side of the chakira, it's an action-based prohibition. Really, the prohibition is you're not allowed to force, you're not allowed to steal, obviously, you're not allowed to force somebody to sell you something. So in order to make sure that you never do that, the Torah says we're prohibiting you from being jealous or some form of jealousy. Okay? Now, you may say, and it's a very interesting topic, which we're not going to discuss, we'll just give it 45 seconds, and that is, no, I understand that drabbanans are set up as gedorim or as harchakos, meaning I'm not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos. Chachamim Rabbanan came along and said, we're going to introduce a concept called muktzah, Because if you're careful for muktzah, you'll be less likely to be over one of the lamates malachos. The Torah says you can't eat meat and milk. Chazal come along and say, you know, we're going to expand that to chicken because you could confuse one with the other. Those are harchakos. But could it be that there's a deoraisa that's a harchaka for another deoraisa? So our instinct is to say no, but it's possible that there is. One example, at least according to the Ran, is the iser of bal yirah u bal yimotzei of chametz on Pesach. The Ran says, really, the prohibition in the Torah is eating chametz on Pesach, but because we eat chametz all year long and we're so nervous that a person might accidentally eat chametz on Pesach, the Torah prohibits, as an iser d'oraisa, having chametz in your house. Now, that's an iser d'oraisa, but the Ran says it's really just a harchaka for another iser d'oraisa, which is achilas chametz on Pesach. Okay? So that's the fundamental chakira. Is it an iser shebalev? I'm not allowed to be jealous because it's bad to be jealous, like v'ahavta l'orecha kamocha lo sisna sachicha bilvavecha, or no? Is it a harchaka? We're so nervous that you're going to take action based on your jealousy that the Torah prohibits you from being jealous. Okay, one last introductory statement, and then we'll start on the Maor Makomos. When we look at Lo Sachmod as being the last of the Aseres Hadibros, we all, I think of the Aseres Hadibros as being five and five. Right? The first one is Bein Adam LaMakom. The second five are Bein Adam LaChavero. Keep in mind that that's probably an oversimplification. And we're going to return to the structure of Aseres Hadibros to talk about the exact placement of Lo Sachmod. Okay. This is where I would pop up the sheet on a normal day, but I forgot to download it. It'll take 1 second. I could probably keep talking, but I'm not gonna. Here we go. Okay. I have to find you. Let you guys go on my screen here. All right, I'm back. No, it did not show up. I'm sorry, just take. Wait 1 second, I apologize. I don't know why. Oh, because I popped up the wrong one. Really sorry. It'll take 1 second. I'll go back to what I sent to Henry. Why can't I find this? This time I'm really going to get it. Okay. Whew. Good thing I'm really good at this. Everybody see it now?
Yeah, we're good.
All right.
Yeah, if you can make it bigger, be helpful.
Look at that. Yeah. All right, here we go. So obviously, Lo Sachmon exists in the two places in which we have the Aseres Hadibros in the Torah. First, in Parshas Yisro, where the Pasuk says as follows in source number one, Lo Tachmod Beit Re'acha. For lack of a better translation, let's say don't covet or don't be jealous of your friend's house. Lo tachmod eshet reyacha, his wife, va'avdo va'amato v'sharo v'chamaro v'chol asher l'reyacha. His wife, his male servant, his female servant, his ox, whatever, all his possessions, all the things of value. Now, we're not going to do this, but every time you see a pasuk in the Torah, which is a prat and then a klal, what do I mean by a prat? Beit reyacha is an example. Eshet reyacha, avdo, sharo, right? Why do you need that? It could have just said, lo tachmod kol asher l'reyecha, right? If you say the Yud Gimel Mil Shaton Adreshes in the Bohen of Rabbi Yishmael in the morning, you know this is one of the hermeneutical principles by which the Torah is darshened. Anytime you have specifics and then a general, there's something to be learned out. Okay, that's the structure. Now, what does the Torah say in this week's parsha? In Vaes Chanan, in the second recitation of the Aser Sadibros, in source number two, the pasuk says, "V'lo tachmot eshet reyacha." So interesting. It's the same as the first one, but the order is changed. The first one has your house first. Here you have your friend's wife. And then it continues, but here it continues with a new verb. Instead of lo tachmod, here the Torah says, v'lo tit'aveh beit re'acha. Don't, again, it's hard. I looked up in a bunch of English ones, including Rabbi Kaplan's Atzal, which I think is the best one. They're all the same. Don't be jealous. Okay, but it's a different verb. You can't miss the fact that first lo tachmod, then lo tachmod, then lo titaveh, and then the same example. Reit re'echa sadeu v'avdo v'amato shero v'chamoro v'chol asher l're'echa. So there are two differences, which may or may not be substantive, between the Dibros in Yisro and the Dibros in Vaes Chanan. One, the order. Second, the one we care much more about is the verb. In one place, it says lo tachmod, but in the second pasuk in Vaes Chanan, in this week's Pasha, it says v'lo tit'aveh. Okay, is there a difference? There will be halachically, but linguistically, it's hard to know. The Ibn Ezra, who was a great, maybe the greatest, I think the word is grammarian. He was into grammar, into definition. Here's what he has to say about the word lo tachmod. Source number three. Says the Ibn Ezra, umilat tachmod, chemed, from the word tachmod, v'lashon hakodesh, mitpareshet lishnei ta'amim. Says the Ibn Ezra, what can I do? There are two definitions for the word chemed or tachmod. Ha'echad, gezel v'oshek v'kachat shel acherim b'chazka uva'ones. The first is actually doing something. It's not just believe. It's not just I feel jealousy. It's that I do something. I act on that jealousy. And he has a good pasuk. The Torah says, "V'kach, v'lo yachmod ish et artzecha ba'alotcha leirot et pnei Hashem lokecha shalosh pim b'ashana." The Torah says, "And no one will be chomed your land when everybody goes up on aliyah l'regel." Says the Ibn Ezra, and I didn't put this one in, but he says, "Nobody cares if they're jealous of your land. What the Torah is telling us: don't worry, nobody's going to take your land." So here's an example of tachmod as an action. Somebody's going to act on his desire and steal your house. V'atam asheni, says the Ibn Ezra. No, the second possible explanation is lashon ta'aveh belev v'lo teitzei lepoal. No, it's an emotion. It's a feeling. It's just jealousy. It's just in your heart. It doesn't matter that you don't act on it. You're still in violation of lo tachmod. Okay, so again, Ibn Ezra says, what does the word chemed, what does tachmod mean? Not really sure. It could be action-based, or it could be just in your heart. It could just be desire. Okay? Those are the two possibilities. Now, as it happens, we have a bunch of Ibn Ezras today, and so I want to take a second, because I've become very fond of the Ibn Ezra, not that he needs my support, to just give you a sense for who he is. The Ibn Ezra's real name is Avram ben Meir. Ibn Ezra is kind of like his last name, I suppose. He was born in 1089 in Tudela in Spain. For some reason, he claimed to be born someplace else, but everybody thinks he was born in 1089. Now, just to give you a sense, Rashi's born in 1040. So he overlaps with Rashi. He's not really a contemporary, but he's kind of second to Rashi, right? In the order of things in the Torah, kind of Arshanim or Rashi, Ibn Ezra, and then the Ramban, who picks on the Ibn Ezra a lot, even though I think he really loved him. He dies in 1164 in London, which is a little strange. Not that many Jews in London then, certainly not real Rishonim. For the first 40 years of his life, the Ibn Ezra basically wanders around Spain and North Africa. End of his life, he wanders around Europe. overwhelmingly, despite his greatness, and he really was great. He was great in grammar. He was great in poetry. He was great in astrology. He was great in parshanut. He was great in all kinds of sciences. There is a crater on the moon, I kid you not, named after the Ibn Ezra. You could look it up. Robert Browning wrote a poem about the Ibn Ezra. It's all fascinating stuff. The sad part is Ibn Ezra had five kids. Four of them died in his lifetime, and the fifth one converted to Islam. Okay, so that's a pretty miserable life. He also was incredibly poor his whole life. He once joked that if he went into tachrichim business, right, if he went into selling shrouds, people would stop dying. Okay, this is not to say, that's kind of a joke, by the way. Okay, this is not to say that everything that Ibn Ezra said is based on the fact that he had his miserable life, but it's good to know it. Now, let's go to a really important Ibn Ezra and source number four. The Ibn Ezra is going to now introduce us to a way of looking at mitzvos that are different than I think the way we're accustomed to looking at mitzvos. Again, I mentioned at the beginning that when we look at Aseres HaDibros, we look at them as being five and five, broken up between Bein Olam LaMakom and Bein Olam LaChavero. That's a classic way of distinguishing mitzvos. Another way of distinguishing mitzvos, I think, which most of us do, are Aseis and Lo Taseis. And we just bunch them together that way. But the Ibn Ezra says no. Mitzvahs fall into three categories. And we're going to see how important this is for understanding Lo Tachmod. Source number four, this is the Ibn Ezra in his long introduction to Aseres HaDibros in Parshas Yisro. He says, V'chol ha-mitzvot al gimel drachim. There are three types of mitzvahs. Ha'achat, mitzvot ha-lev, internal belief-based mitzvot. Vahabet mitzvot halashon, speech-based mitzvot. Vahagimol mitzvot asei, action-based mitzvot. Now, how do these things break down? So it's as follows. Second line, mitzvot halev al shnei drachim. Internal belief-based mitzvot have two types. Mitzvot asei, mitzvot lo tasei, aseis and lo taseis. So, for example, v'nei mitzvat asei v'yohav tos Hashem alokecha, loving God, u'ledav kabo, cleaving to God, u'lira et Hashem hanichbad, fearing God, v'yohav t'lorecha kamocha, loving your fellow. Now he says, u'mitzvot lo tasei, but there are also lo taseis, like lo tisnat achicha bilvavecha, don't hate your fellow, lo tikom v'lo titar, don't take revenge or don't think about revenge, okay? So he says there are aseis and los aseis that make up mitzvot halev. Interesting, he doesn't mention belief in God here, but it's going to come later. Second category, gam mitzvot halashon asei v'lo tasei. Speech-based mitzvot also have positive and negative mitzvot. Asei, kimo kriyat shma ubirkat hamazon, ubirkat kohanim, gam vidui ma'asev rabim kacha, tons of speech-based mitzvot aseis. I guess the Rambam would say tefillah is one of them. Mitzvot lo tasei, for example, lo ta'aneh b're'acha, bearing false witness, is a lo tasei based on speech. Elokim lo tekalel, cursing God or cursing judges. Lo tekalel chayresh, cursing a deaf person. Okay, so he says speech-based has aseis and lo taseis. Finally, the third category, mitzvot asei, action-based, v'lo tasei, b'ma'aseh heim rabim. Of course we know matzah, lulav, shofar, sukkah, you know, those are action-based aseis. You know, basar b'chalav, malacha on shah, those are action-based lot aseis. So those are the three categories. So first of all, that's very important that he sees those as the three categories. But now comes the shocking part, and I have bolded it so we won't miss it. Mitzvot halev Haim ha'ikarim hanichbadim al kulam. Not only, he says, do I think mitzvot halev are one of the three categories of mitzvot, I think they're the most important ones. V'rabim chashvu ki ein avon b'machshevat halev. He says most people think, or many people think, you can't sin in your heart. Rak b'divrei avodas gilulim, or maybe, you know, maybe if you believe in another God, it's true, that's very bad. Raki kineged kulam, but it says the Ibn Ezra doesn't matter. belief-based mitzvos are keneged kulam. They're the most foundational mitzvos in the Torah. V'hine zeh hadibur harishon hu ikar kolat hishadvar im hanichtav im acharav. He says the most important of the aseres hadibros is the first. Anochi Hashem alokecha asher tzisich meretzon beis avadim. That's belief-based. Now, a 30-second detour. We always think that Judaism is the religion of doing or not doing, and Christianity is the religion of believing. Now, I'm not here to tell you what Christianity thinks, but I can tell you it's not true about Judaism. I think we just got a bad rap, you know, because there's another really popular religion that says, oh, if you just believe in Jesus, you know, everything is fine. So we've moved away from that. But the Ibn Ezra says we've moved too far. And all the do's and the don'ts, all the action-based mitzvahs, of course they're important. But the most important part are the belief-based mitzvahs. Or what I think the Ibn Ezra would say is, who we are is more important than what we do. Now, many of you will point out the obvious, which is there may not be a difference between who we are and what we do. And I'm certainly not claiming that there has to be a difference. But the Ibn Ezra is warning us, and he's warning us that sometimes we lose track of how important what we believe is within our Avodas Hashem. We think, yeah, if I put on tefillin, that fixes everything. I think the Ibn Ezra would say, no. What matters is your belief in God. Of course you have to put on tefillin, because God wants you to put on tefillin. But we should not underestimate the role of belief-based mitzvos, which of course, we'll come back to this, which of course, you know, makes us rethink lo tachmod. Because we used to think lo tachmod, how important could it be? It's just a belief-based mitzvah. But the Ibn Ezra just explained to us that belief-based mitzvos are the most important ones. Okay, so much for philosophy and broad, big ideas. What about halacha? What is the iser of lo tachmod? So here we start with the mechilta. Mechilta obviously is a medrash halacha written by Tanaim. Mechilta the Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. He was a Tana. The mechilta says as follows. First, it says lo tachmod. The text is a little corrupted. Ulahalan hu omer lo titave beit reacha. In Yisro, it says lo sachmod. In Va'eschanan, the Torah adds the word tit'aveh, and the Mechilta says, L'chayev al ta'ava bifnei atzma, va'al chemda bifnei atzma. Says the Mechilta, if there are two different verbs, there are two different prohibitions. One called lo tachmod, and one called lo tit'aveh. We'll come back to that in a second. And he says, they're not unrelated. He says, basically, what we know is hitave adam sofo lachmod. If you have ta'ava, in the end, you're going to come to chimud. Okay? Lo titave velo tachmod minayim chamad adam sofo ligzol shenema v'chamdu sadot v'gazlu. He says the way it works is, first you have ta'ava, then you have chimud, then that leads you to gzela, to theft. Okay? Now, no one's surprised that there's a prohibition on theft in the Torah. But based on this mechilta, the Rambam counts two separate mitzvos. We'll do this quickly, but it's clear that there's supposed to be two separate mitzvos. It's a little hard to distinguish them, but we'll do our best. Here's the Rambam in Mitzvat Lo Tase Reish Samachay, source number 6, Va Mitzvah Reish Samachay, 265. Hisha Hiziranu Mehasim Machshavtenu Laasot Tachula Kidei Liknot Mashiesh Lezulatenu Meachenu. The prohibition is trying to figure out how you can purchase something that belongs to somebody else. V'zehu amaro lo tachmod beit reyacha. Okay, literally, and maybe this will offend somebody, and I'm not saying it's the halacha, but you see your friend's house and you go, I want to buy that house. I like it so much. I want to figure out how to buy his house. It sounds like in the Rambam, that's a problem of lotachmod. Hinei hitbaer lecha. Ki ze halav yazhir meharim ad shenikach latzmenu hadavar shahayinu chomdim oto mimamon achenu. He says the prohibition is to get to a state where you want to buy the thing, you desperately want to own the thing that your neighbor owns. Va'afilu liknoto v'latet bo damim rabim. Hine ze kulo misha ya'aseu over alo tachmon. Says the Rambam, this is critical. The Rambam says, even if you buy it, not only that, he says, even if you pay a premium, it sounds like it's problematic. Now, a lot of this is gray area, so this is not halacha l'maisa at all. But let's just do an easy example, okay? And I'm exaggerating, but at least this way I'll get people to believe me, because my feeling is already people are doubting me. Let's do this. You decide your neighbor has a beautiful house and you want to buy the house. And you go to him and you offer him, a fair price for the house. And he says, listen, by the way, this just happened to me in shul last night. Somebody said to me, you want to sell your house? It really happened. Okay. So now the truth is, I don't want to sell my house because I plan to die here. Right. All you are thinking the same thing, which is, well, when Mashiach comes, we'll move. Yeah, but I'm already here. So I have no plan to move no matter what happens. In fact, I'll tell you this. One of the reasons we got our house is because it's illegal and there's all kinds of restrictions. And I asked the lawyer, okay, but it's not illegal. Parts are. So I asked the lawyer, like, Lemaisa, what does that mean? So he said, well, when you want to resell, it may be problematic. And I said, I'm never selling. It doesn't matter. Okay, so I'm already here. But so you go, you look at your neighbor's house and you love it and you offer him fair market price and he says, no, it's not for sale. So you offer him more and you offer him more and he's not interested. Okay. Now you start playing really loud music at night and you start having parties and whatever, and you start being okay. And eventually he sells. Now he sells, at a 50% premium. So you say, I'm a big tzaddik. Because not only did I pay full price, I paid much more. I think the Rambam would say you're over in the daraisa of lo sachmor, because you leaned on him enough till he sold. Now again, that's a really, really easy, obvious example. I'm not now going to move backwards because it's too difficult to tell, but at least in that example, it's clear you were over in the daraisa of lo sachmor according to the Rambam. Here's the chiddush. Even though you paid. And even though you paid a premium,
Ellie,
even though in theory you could claim, he wanted to sell it. But at least in my example, it's obvious that he didn't. Question?
Yeah, according to Rambam, is it
different? Henry, we're instituting a new rule. You have to be on camera to talk.
According to Rambam, is there a...
you can make an exception for Henry.
Henry's the guy who wants to buy my house.
Is there a difference between a business model of Masa Matan and someone who is Mekaneh for his personal desire?
So I think the answer is for sure. I mean, it's not fair to say the Ram was a capitalist, but it's obviously the case that, there are negotiations. And there's paying more and paying less. And I don't think it's usher for two people to have a bidding war for a house. That's not lo sachmo. The house is for sale. Now the question is, okay, how much are you going to pay for it? That's not a problem. The Rambam's not against capitalism. Rambam says is the problem is that it was not for sale. They weren't interested in this at all. Now I'm going to say it in the easier way. You pressured them to sell, says the Rambam, that's problematic.
But my question is directed to if you go around looking to buy someone else's property, or, and again, are we only talking property, or are we talking about anything the person owns? And
wait, let me finish. We're not just talking property, because the pasuk says your wife.
Okay. Oh, so okay. So everything, but let's say, and you go around, and you're a peddler, and you go and you try to solicit people to sell you things. Only for profit, meaning you only do it for profit, not to own it. You have no desire to own it, but you're doing it for profit.
You're saying you want to flip the house.
You're a broker. No, you're a broker. Your job is to go around to the nicest houses.
Okay, so it might be different in that case, right? Because you're not even buying it for yourself.
That's my point.
Your job. It might be different.
Because the Rambam,
but let's say. But Henry, you know, if you're a broker for other people's wives, that's probably not a good business to be in. I just have to be, you know.
We're talking about now, but you went into capitalism and property.
Okay, but I'm saying the wife is in there. I don't know if you know, it would be strange if you came to somebody and you say, how much you want for your car? You know, I see you have a car in the driveway. I think we're moving towards a model that the Rambam would be afraid of, but I can't tell you for sure. You know, there are plenty of people. If not on this call, I've said this, you know, people who bought their house by, like, I don't know, writing letters to their neighbors saying, you know, I would love to pay a premium for your house. Is it for sale? I'm not here to tell you that's us or a mutter. I'm using exaggerated examples because it's just easier to talk in exaggerations. Okay, but for the Rambam, again, you don't get out of it by paying. Even by paying a premium, that doesn't change the fact. That's source number 6. That is the Isser Doraisa of Lo Sachmor. Source number 7, the next mitzvah in the Rambam, mitzvah, that's a Reish Samach Vav. This is the Isser of Lo Tit Aveh. Remember, the Mechilta says there are two different Isurim. Tachmo Chimud and Ta'ava. Ta'ava is desire. Says the Rambam, mitzvah Reish Samach Vav, hi-shehi-ziram me-hasim mach-shav-tenu lach-mod ma-she-yesh la-ch-inu u-li-hit-avot bo. We're not allowed to desire that which belongs to our brethren. Because that will lead you to coming up with a plan that will allow you to get the object. Last line here, my cursor is Ve'ein hashnei lavim elu b'inyan echad. Says the Rambam, these are two separate prohibitions. They're not one prohibition. Aval. Halav harishon v'hu lo tachmo. The first mitzvah, source number 6, mazhir shalo liknot mashiyesh lezulatenu. That's a prohibition on taking action. V'halav hasheni lo titaveh, mazhir afilu lihitavot b'libeinu levad. Lo titaveh prohibits even just desiring it in your heart, even if you don't take any action. Okay? And I will read a little bit more in the Rambam. Your neighbor has a new Porsche. Okay, and you look at it and you go, wow, I really want that car. At that moment, the Rambam says you're in violation of Issa Doraisa of Lo Titaveh. Next. V'im hitchazek bo ahavat hadavar hahu. But if you go to the next step, and now you have a plan in which you go to the guy and you try to get him to sell it, and if the guy gives in, that's an issur d'oraisa, not just of lo titaveh, but of lo tachmod as well. And now the Rambam has an exaggerated case here. He says, Gam kein, achash shekana davar shiyele chavero v'lo haya ritzono l'machor. He says, the guy didn't really want to sell it to you. Aval ichbid alav v'hirim ad shelakacho v'yesh shelo kvar avar shnei lavin lo titaveh v'lo tachmod. Now, what's the next step? The guy resists all your pressure. Now you steal it from him. Okay, because you love it so much. Now you did three isurim. Lo titaveh, the simple desire. lo tachmod, a desire that leads to an action, even though you're paying full price. Number three, lo tigzol, which is the guy wouldn't sell it to you at all, so you stole it. Okay? Those are three separate isurim in the Rambam, and those are three separate isurim that exist in most cases, even though the machlokis about how you define each of lo titaveh and lo tachmod, you know, that machlokis exists.
Ellie, what if I see somebody of my chaver has, and I want it, but I can get another one just like it from someplace else. I mean, that's still belief. I still have the taiva. I'm not taking it from him. I'm getting that same thing from someplace else. Is that also the law according to the Rambam?
I don't think so. Again, we're getting into gray areas where it's hard to say specifically. I think the Rambam is talking about unique items. If, you know, your neighbor has...
Okay, Ishto after Hamoso, yes. But what about Shoro of Hamoro? Not that particular ox. I mean, there are other oxes like Jack and the Hamoro like that.
So, you know, I don't know. Look, if your neighbor has a Porsche and it costs $100,000, I'm making this up, okay? And you could buy a Porsche for $100,000. And let's say you could get delivery tomorrow. So why would you do it? You know, why would you pay the guy a premium? My guess is in the Rambam, it's not that simple. My guess is the Rambam is talking about, you know, something unique, right? This Porsche was once owned, you know, by, I don't know, by Barack Obama. And that either raised its value or reduced its value. I don't know. But it was something unique. And you're desperate to get it. I think that's what we're talking about, right? The guy has something unique that you can't buy in a store. And, you know, like his wife. Okay, that's unique. And so that's my sense. Okay, let's look together at source number 8. This is the Rambam in Hilchos Gezeila V'Aveda Perek Aleph Halacha Tes. This is one of the most famous Rambams because it's so problematic. You read it and you see the problem right away. Says the Rambam, Kol ha-chomed avdo'o amato. Let's use the English. You're jealous, you covet your neighbor's slave or male slave, female slave, o beito, his house, v'kelav, something he owns, shel chavero, o kol davar she'efshar lo she'yiknehu mimenu, or anything that you want to buy from him. V'hichbid alav bireyim v'hivtzir bo ad she'lekacho mimenu. And you kind of pressured the guy. You pressured him until he said, okay, I'll sell it. Afal pi shenatan lo damim rabim, even though you paid full price, maybe even more. Hare ze over below taseh shenema lo tachmo. Okay, that's consistent with what we saw in the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos. Even though you paid a premium, because you forced the guy to sell it to you, that's an issur d'oraisa of lo tachmo. Now the Rambam says something shocking. Ve'ein lo kin alav zeh, but you don't get makos for it. Why not? Mipnei she'ein bo ma'aseh. Because it's a lav she'ein bo ma'aseh. It doesn't involve an action. Wait, what do you mean it doesn't involve an action? You bought the thing. You took possession of his car. That's an action. And now the Rambam makes it even worse. He says, ve'eino over b'lav zeh ad she'ikach ha'chefetz she'chamad. And I'm telling you again, you're not over lo tachmod until you actually took possession of the object. Kinyan shenamar lo tachmod kesef zav alehem v'lo kachta lach chimud sheyesh bo maisa. So the Rambam says, what's the definition of lo tachmod? It's you covet the thing so much that you force the guy to sell it to you. But the Rambam says you don't get makos for it, because it's a lav she'ein bo ma'isa. It doesn't involve an action. What do you mean it doesn't involve an action?
You just
the guy to sell it to you. The Ravid disagrees with the Rambam in 2 points. Right here, says the Ravid. Afi she'nasa l'adam yakarim, amar Avram, v'lo amar rotze ani. The Ravid thinks, so long as in the end, your neighbor agreed to it, even if you forced him into it, it's not lo tachmod. It's only lo tachmod if you say to the guy, here's the money, I'm taking your car. And the guy says, I don't want you to, but he takes the money in the end and you take the car. Says the Ravi, that's when it's lo tachmod. The Rambam says, no. Even if the guy says yes, if you pressured him into it, that's the Isser of lo tachmod. But the bigger problem, says the Ravi in the next line, Amar Avram, lo marotzani, hasagas Ravi. Okay, he quotes the Rambam. Vein lo kin alav zeh she'ein bo maisa. Amar Avram, lo ra'isi davar tema gadol mizeh. I never saw such a ridiculous thing in the Rambam. Veheichan ma'aseh gadol minetilat ha'chefetz. What do you mean? How could it be a lav she'ein bo maisa when the Rambam requires you to take the car in order to be over the Isser? Okay, we'll stop here. The rest is just details which we don't need. The Ravid thinks that, well, I will read more, then we'll get the Ravid. Aval hayalo lomar mipnei shu chayav b'tashlumin sharehu kigazlan shechayav la'ashiv et ha'gzela ulefikach eino lokev v'gam zeh chayav la'ashiv et ha'chefetz l'balav. Says the Ravid, I don't know what the Rambam's talking about. The Rambam says that the Isra of Lo Tachmod is when you take the object and yet for some bizarre reason it's a lav she'ein bo maisa, so you don't get makos. The Ravid says, no, it's a lav she'yesh bo maisa because it involves the theft of the object. But it happens to be you don't get makos for stealing something. Why not? Because you have to pay back. And if you have to pay back, you don't get makos for that. But the Ravid seems right. The Rambam seems internally inconsistent. How could it be a lav she'ein bo maisa if the definition of lo sachmod is obtaining the item? Again, for the Rambam, even though you're paying for it, and even though the guy agrees to the sale. So on the one end, it sounds like, you know, it's a bad deal for the Rambam. It sounds really bad. But of course, it couldn't possibly be so bad. My theory is sometimes you have Rambams in different places, they seem slightly inconsistent. But here, the Rambam seems to contradict himself in the same halacha. Yeah. And the Rambam was way too smart to do that. So what's the answer? The answer, which is found in most achronim, is the following. And this is the core of the issue. For the Rambam, the Isser of Lo Tachmod is Balev. It's not an action-based mitzvah. If I covet your object, that's a problem. So why, if it's a mitzvah balev, do I have to take action according to the Rambam? So the answer is the definition, you know, if I see your car and I see, wow, that's a beautiful car, you know, I'd love to have it, and I move on. It's not even something I focus on. The Rambam would say that's not the Isra of Lo Tachmod. The Isra of Lo Tachmod is I desire it so much that I force you to sell it to me. But the prohibition is not that you sold it to me. The prohibition is a mitzvah shebalev. It's that I desired. It's just the Torah can't prohibit every single type of desire. We'd be over it all the time. So instead, the Torah says, according to the Rambam, the second I cross a line and go to my neighbor and purchase the thing that I desire, that's how I know that I was over lo tachmod. But lo tachmod is only belav. It's not the action that makes it lo tachmod. It's the action that defines my desire as having crossed the line. If I just see your car and I think, wow, I'd love to have that car, and I move on, that's not lo tachmod according to the Rambam. But if I see your car and I desire it so much that I force you to sell it to me, now I know that my desire crossed the line. But the Isser for the Rambam is a standalone Isser, believe, of desire. The Isser for the Ravid is, no, it's related to theft. You're going to come to steal it anyway. That's the problem. That's why it's usur. So for the Ravid, lo tachmod really is an action-based isur. It's a geder for the next isur of lo tignov. For the Rambam, no. It's just like the ahavta l'recha kamocha. it's just like lo tisnas achicha bilvavecha, but it's not clear how strong your desire is until you take action. If you take action, we understand how strong your desire is, and at that moment, you're in violation of lo tachmod. I really think it's such a fantastic Rambam, right? It's not contradictory at all. The Rambam says this of lo tachmod is belave. So why does he require an action? Well, the only way to know that you crossed a line in terms of your desire is that you acted on the desire. If you don't act on the desire, you have not yet violated lo tachmod, right? It's still not a good position to be in, but you have not violated lo tachmod. And to a certain extent, this is kind of the dividing line between being and doing, right? We'll come back to this in a second. Ibn Ezra pointed out that, you know, things belave determine who we are. All the Rambam is saying, yeah, but in the world I live in, sometimes things belave have to express themselves. We'll do in the opposite direction. I love my neighbor like myself, but it doesn't express itself in any way. Okay? You know, there's a part of the Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha is being sensitive to your neighbor's money, right? So if you leave in your house and you saw that the water was running, that the hose was on, you'd get out of your car and you'd shut it off. So the halacha is, if you see your neighbor's hose running, you have to get out of your car and shut it off. So it won't help. I could claim that I love my neighbor as much as I want, but if it never expresses itself in any action, I think the Rambam might claim, yes, it's a mitzvah shebelev. But at some point, the mitzvah shebelev has to express itself. If it doesn't express itself, you're probably fooling yourself in terms of what's in your lave. Okay, having decided now that at least according to the Rambam, but I think according to many, many others as well, lo tachmod is an iser shebelev, we can return to our original question about what it's doing in Aseres HaDibros. And I want to suggest two answers for this. The first is something that I saw in Nechama Leibowitz, but it really was very, very beautiful. And the next will be the last Ibn Ezra that we'll look at today. Nechama Leibowitz suggests that Aseres HaDibros has what people call a chiastic structure. I'm not so into chiastic structures, but it's cool. If you've ever seen them, it basically is A, B, C, C, B, A. Right? That's how you set something up. You know, 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1, and they parallel each other. So she suggests as follows. Aseres HaDibros starts with belief-based mitzvos, right? Anochi Hashem Elokecha, lo yelecha Elohim achrim al panai, which we saw already in the Ibn Ezra. That's a category, belief-based mitzvos. We then move on to speech-based mitzvos. Lo tisa Hashem Hashem Elokecha lashav. We then move on to category 3, action-based mitzvos, like Shabbos, and certainly Kibud Av V'Em, A, B, C, okay? Belief, speech, action. Now, last 5, right? Don't murder, don't rape, right? So it continues with action. Then it moves on to speech, Lo ta'aneh b're'acha eid shaker, moves on to speech. Last, it moves back to belief. What's belief? Lo sachmod. Lo sachmod closes the circle that began with the belief-based mitzvah of Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Tziticha Me'etzem Beis Avadim. But it's even stronger than that. It's not just structural, it's substantive. And here let's look together at, it's always hard to say, you know, maybe the most famous Ibn Ezra because of the example that he uses and the sharpness of his example. Okay, if you're a big fan of Disney movies, stop listening now. Says the Ibn Ezra, source number 9, Lo Tachmod. Anashim rabim yitmhu al zot ha-mitzvah. Many people wonder about this mitzvah. They say, Eich yihyeh adam shelo yachmod davar yafeh b'libo. How could it be that a person won't desire beautiful things in the world? That's how people are. They want beautiful things. He says, Va'ata etein lecha mashal, the famous mashal of Ibn Ezra. Da, know the following. Here's this story. Ki ish kafri sheyesh lo dat nechona. There was once a very, very intelligent villager. He was a peasant. V'hu ra'a bat melech shehi yafa. And the king came through the village along with the very beautiful princess. He says, lo yachmod ota belibo sheyishkavima. The intelligent peasant doesn't really desire to sleep with the princess. Ki yadaki ze lo yitachen. It's not the Disney movie. It's not going to happen. She's not marrying a peasant. Va'al tachshov zeh kafrishu ke'acha minam shugayim. And this guy's not a crazy person. She'yitaveh she'yeh lo kinafayim la'uf hashamayim. V'lo yitachen liyot. He says, just like this guy doesn't spend his time dreaming about how he'll have wings that he could fly, he doesn't spend his time dreaming about how he's going to marry the princess, because it's not going to happen. Now, here's the really biting part. Ka'asher ein adam mit avel lishkav imimo afal pi shehi yafa. He says, normal people don't desire to sleep with their mothers, even if their mothers are beautiful. Why not? Ki hirgiluhu mine arav ladat shehi asuralo. Because you grew up knowing that that's the most horrific thing a person can do. And since you knew that your mother was off limits to you, you stopped desiring her. Kacha kol maskil tzarech she'ida. Similarly, any intelligent person has to understand. Ki isha yafa o mamon, lo yimtze'enu adam bavur chachmato v'da'ato, rak ka'asher chalak lo Hashem. Nobody fight with me on this. Says the Ibn Ezra, in the starkest way, if God wanted you to have that house, you would have that house. Now, don't start fighting with me about how it works exactly. But the Ibn Ezra says as follows, it's stronger in the chinuch, that you have that which God wants you to have. And if you don't have it, it's because God doesn't want you to have it. And if you understand that, you'll stop desiring things that you don't have, much like, sorry to repeat it, right? You don't desire incest because you understand that those things are off limits. I'll put it in my words. Many years ago, Elka and I went on vacation to Newport, Rhode Island. Okay, why do you go there? You go to these like massive mansions, you know, the Vanderbilts, 50 bedrooms and all these things. No normal person, at least not me, and I am the poster boy for normal, okay? I don't care what any of you think. You're not jealous, right? I look at I look at houses on the internet, Bill Gates's house. I'm not jealous of Bill Gates's house. It's a gazillion times bigger than my house. I'm not jealous of Elon Musk, who just went to the moon or wherever he went, someplace close to them. You know, these things are so far beyond us, we don't think about them. Who are we jealous of? We're jealous of the neighbor who has a house that's 20% nicer than mine, not 100% nicer, right? I'm not jealous of people with Porsches. I'm jealous of people with, I don't know, what's the hybrid car that people have in Israel? I don't know. What's it called, Elka? The nicer car. The Prius.
Prius.
Okay, right? It's a little nicer than the car I have. That's who we're jealous of. And I think to wrap up, what the Ibn Ezra is saying, and the Chinuch really says it, just didn't have time to read everything. The Chinuch says it more strikingly, is it's the exact, the close of Aseres HaDibros with Lo Tachmod is the close that begins with another mitzvah of belief of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. If you believe in God, you won't be jealous. Because belief in God includes within it an understanding that, you know, God gives you that which you're supposed to have in this world. This does not mean you can't do business. This does not mean you can't try to get rich. But if somebody else has a unique object, it belongs to him and not to you. And if God wanted you to have, you know, the autographed Babe Ruth baseball, you would have had it. But if there's only one of them in the world and somebody else owns it, you know, and you're going to force him to sell it to you, I think in the most extreme version of this, it undermines your belief in God. And so to end where we started, not only isn't it a question of what Lo Tachmon is doing in Aseres HaDibros, it's the perfect close to Aseres HaDibros, because it's the application of the theoretical idea of belief in God, right? Belief in God is just something that's internal. But I think in the end, what we're seeing is that internal things have to express themselves at some point, just like Lo Tachmod is internal. But, you know, if you're acting in a way that's opposite, it's obvious that you're violating Lo Tachmod. So in the end, Lo Tachmod really is the inverse or the application of the first mitzvah of the Aseres HaDibros. The first mitzvah is to believe in God. The last mitzvah is to believe in God to such an extent that you understand that that which you have, you're supposed to have, and that which your neighbor has, he's supposed to have. Okay, it was a bit of a struggle to get a definition for Lo Sachmod and how it would apply, but I did my best.